Because that's the bottom line.
Conference championship round in the NFL. The Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast is back. My name is Dead Air Dennis, and I am joined in the studio here at Classic Rock 92.1 WBVX Carlisle, Lexington, by the one and only Beer Man.
Hey, buddies.
Welcome, my man. And Brad Taylor is on the phone, zooming us from the beautiful county of Madison here in the state of Kentucky. Hi, Brad.
Hello, fellas. I can honestly say I don't know where Carlisle is. And that's not a slight to Carlisle. I just did not know that was part of the Classic Rock family. And so, yes, all shout out to all the good people of Carlisle.
I believe Lee Cruz is from Carlisle.
I thought he was from Winchester.
No, he worked in Winchester.
Okay.
He and I worked together in Winchester decades ago.
I
think he's from Carlisle.
Was that WFMI?
It was.
Oh.
The former WFMI. At the time, it was WLFX.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was a kid, WFMI 100 on your radio dial. That was the station, man. And it wasn't because of you or Lee Cruz. It was because you played a lot of Duran Duran back then. So, yeah, good job.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Hungry like the wolf?
No, he's talking about the Reflex.
The Reflex. Played that every hour on the hour in 1984. I'm serious, man.
I knew I was right about that because you like the Beats. For whatever reason, you think you're trying to be, I don't know, kind of hip and cool, so you like songs with beats in it.
I ain't trying, baby. I am hip and cool. I don't know what you're talking about, so yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. How you like those apples? Some of us have our fingers on the pulse of the kids on the streets. Here at the LEX, how you like them apples?
That would be you, because I could care less what the kids on the streets are listening to.
What?
Never did care, never wanted to be that, never was.
Well, that tells me quite a bit about you, sir.
It does.
You are just someone who, I guess you weren't going to the raves back in the day, were you? Were you a rave guy?
I have been to a rave before, though. I just remember that, in Louisville.
Oh, I've been to a few myself from back in the day.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Those were stupid. Those were insane. But, I mean, everybody's like, oh, we're having a rave. You know, great. And then everybody gets there. Man, this sucks. Let's just go to the bar and have a beer or something. Yeah, okay. That sounds better. So, yeah. But
You're so right. You just kind of threw me back to the one I went to. Because obviously they call it rave for a reason. Because they're trying to get you there.
Yeah, and they got me more than once, so I'm dumber than you are. I got fooled more than once, you know? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's my fault. But you keep having faith in these raves, and they never produced. But, yeah, by the end of those nights, I was always at some beer joint, and then a Waffle House, and then go home with a lot of regret. That's usually how those nights ended up.
Well, there's a reason us guys end up going to these places to begin with. I mean, we're chasing one thing predominantly. And when we realize that we have to listen to hour after hour after hour of basically the same song being played, it dawns on you that it's just not worth it. So you go to a sports bar, watch the game, drink beer, and have a good time with your buddies.
And then I remember going to the Dog after I left and came back, and then there was this DJ there who was lousy and just kept playing Def Leppard, which was 5 years old. And I couldn't understand why he kept playing Def Leppard all the time. Boy, I'd like to get my hands on that DJ and teach him a thing or two.
Did you happen to see that the property of the Family Dog is finally put up for sale?
Oh,
is it really? I did not.
$450,000. You would have to spend another $500,000 to get that thing up to code. But yes, I think this past Sunday, it was officially put on the market.
Is there a treasure chest buried inside somewhere?
It is a three-story building that if it rains, it leaks from the roof all the way down to the first floor.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
My fake ID is in there somewhere. I'm pretty sure of that. But that way I got the green hand stamp instead of the red hand stamp. But I didn't have to use the fake ID till I went to Atlanta. I mean, you're 18 and you're in your hometown. They don't care. Oh, Brad, how you doing, man? Come on in. Yeah, I'll see you later. Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was still getting legitimately carded when I was in my mid-40s.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. I haven't had to.
No.
The only thing
every
I
get, time, but
yeah,
more often than not,
it must have been the hair.
I guess it was something. I don't know what it was exactly, but it was something.
20 years ago, Dennis had a full mane.
Hey, Brad, I'm growing it back out again. I haven't seen you in forever. I'm letting my hair grow again.
Thank God. I mean, oh, you are? Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, congratulations.
He's going with the skullet.
I don't know what it is right now.
Oh, it's you've got the like the peninsula on top, the panhandle, except it's the bald panhandle and everything around it is kind of the old Frasier.
Visualize what you're saying, panhandle.
Yeah,
but like, you're probably right.
Is it like the old Frasier crane with the, you had the island kind of in the middle and then everything else growing around it? Yeah,
my bald spot is not that prominent, I don't think.
His forehead goes back a little ways. It's more like Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, I've got the forehead. Yeah. I'm sure everybody's enthralled by this. Four Kentucky boys picking games on a weekly basis. Beer Man has slayed it this year. Brad's had a good year. I have had an off year. I think I might have been 0-4 last week, guys, in the games. We're down to 3. It's hard to believe that you enter the postseason as one of the 14 teams, and only one of those teams is going to win out. And we are even closer now. We're down to 3 games. It is the conference championship games this weekend, fellas. Thoughts about the games we just saw?
I don't know. I looked at that New England-Houston game, and my thought was, how did either of these teams get here?
Mm-hmm.
They were both... It was like if they were playing anybody else, they both would have lost. That was a bad game for the playoffs. And then you turn around and you see the Rams and the Bears. That game was so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm,
it was.
You know, Buffalo, it was an up-and-down game. You kind of felt bad for Josh, but that was not the right time for him to have a bad game. And San Francisco, I think they're... season just kind of caught up with them all at the same time.
That's accurate as well. Accurate as well. I don't, you know, San Francisco clearly had a pretty easy schedule, but they also had a lot of injuries through the season. They've got one of the premier coaches. They've got, they were up and down at the quarterback position this year because Brock Purdy was out for so many games. But, you know, they really played well. They played the competition and they got there, but you kind of felt the early exit was coming for them, and there it was. Chicago Bears fans have so much to look forward to. I was so wrong about Caleb Williams entering the year and Ben Johnson's impact on him. That was, like you said, a fun game to watch, and they almost pulled it out.
Nice.
And, you know, I really just – I feel like this year's Super Bowl is going to be such a letdown. Like, I'm not real excited about any of these teams. I really don't want to see the Rams win it again. I don't want to see Denver go again. So what's to be excited about?
I think when Bo Nix got hurt and you saw the game that New England played, you kind of thought whoever the participant from the NFC is, that's who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to think with no Burrow, no Mahomes, no Lamar, no Josh Allen, what we have in the AFC is really weak this year, and it's kind of a shame because I don't feel Jared Stidham or Drake May, even if he does win the MVP this year, is the guy that can pull out a Super Bowl with, you know, just his athleticism being, you know, with Mahomes, you would kind of sit here and be like, doesn't matter what the rest of the teams is doing, you feel like Mahomes could find a way to pull this out.
Let's not forget the last year's champion, Jalen Hurts, and the Philadelphia Eagles not in it this year. The NFC currently -230 to produce this year's Super Bowl winner, and that is what you call enlightening. Drake May, by the way, in the season, fumbled 14 times through the regular season, 6 times here in the playoffs.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Ball control and this cavalier, I heard somebody use that word, this cavalier approach for Drake May and especially C.J. Stroud, going back and throwing the ball and just bad pass, bad decision-making, interceptions and fumbles. Play after play after play was just unbelievable to see in the postseason. Yeah. I've never seen anything so bad. Brad?
Yeah, I like it when the Bears have a good young coach and a young, highly drafted quarterback like like Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, the good things coming for the Chicago Bears, as we all can see from a long period of away. However, dog to fave line move, Broncos. They lose their quarterback. We'll talk about that later. But they are the favorites, the dogs, to get to the Super Bowl. Patriots favored to make the Super Bowl. Even though I had the Patriots over that win total before the year, I certainly didn't see them going 14-3 and being one game away from the Super Bowl. And, of course, the Rams and Seahawks, big divisional battle. And the Bears and the Niners, they just didn't have enough when it comes down to it. So, yeah, we are at the Final Four in the NFL, and we've got a lot of game to talk about. And we're going to talk about a lot of props today and maybe some MVPs. Maybe you can get better value on a potential MVP than you can a Super Bowl winner if you're looking at a future wager. So a lot we're going to talk about today in terms of doing things like that. Maybe getting more bang for your buck there, guys.
Well, let's get to the games. And when I say
let's get to the sponsor first.
When I say games, I mean two of them. That's it. Go ahead, Brad, with the sponsor.
We do have a sponsor, whether they like it or not. About, 9 weeks from now, I'll be headed to the desert to see our good friends from Circa Sports. Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeffrey Benson, Aaron Oster, all our friends out in the desert. We'll be seeing them. But if you're looking to get your action down, you can't make it to Vegas, can't even make it down to Franklin, Kentucky, which was hopping last week for Kentucky and Tennessee. For Kentucky and Tennessee basketball and the NFC, or excuse me, the divisional round of the playoffs. Yeah, that's a good place to go get your sportsbook swerve on. But if you can't make it down there, yeah, just go download the app, circusports.com for the info. The highest limits, the lowest holds, the best customer service, no matter what you're betting. Futures, in-games, sides, totals, props, you name it. Money lines, they've got it. And more often than not, the best place for the squares like you and me to make some money long term. So make sure to check them out. Just go download the app, Circa Sports Kentucky, or just go to circusports.com. Kids, got to be 18 or older. Sorry. And if you have a problem gambling, 1-800-426-2537. Back to you.
Let's get to the games.
Let's get to the games. Sunday, January 25th, 2026. A day that will live in infamy for two teams. In the first game, Drake May and the New England Patriots on the road. 5.5-point favorites now at the Denver Broncos and Jarrett Stidham, a man who has not started a game in over 3 years. Total 42, Patriots 5.5-point favorites in this one. This total started at 40.5. It's up to 42. Have at it, fellas.
So the line, the total is going up?
That is correct.
Fascinating.
Things that make you go, quite often, yes.
Well, certainly, because you think, okay, well, does that mean that, you know, at some point in this game, Denver just kind of throws it in and they give up a late touchdown because the game is essentially over at, let's say, the score is 20-7 or 20-10, and the Denver defense just kind of says, okay, well, this one's over. I mean... That's still a close game by most books, but if Jarrett Stidham puts up a dog of a day, then you know the team might just throw in the towel. I don't see that happening, of course. It's the NFL, it's championship. Jarrett Stidham hasn't played football, started a game in football in 750 days. So and Josh McDaniels was by Bill Belichick's side when he was drafted by the New England Patriots years ago. So, you know, there seems to be maybe an existing playbook on strengths and weaknesses that might exist in the New England camp. This game for me comes down to whether A, the Patriots go full throttle, and B, whether Denver's defense can keep them in the game and Jarrett Stidham can keep the team in the game without making mistakes. You know, unfortunately, Denver hasn't had much of a running game. And last week we saw, I think on the first or second possession of the game, R.J. Harvey fumbled the ball. So he was taken out of the game for a bit. So, you know, it's just hard to really believe in anything that the Denver Broncos can do right now. I'm really surprised to see the total go up in this game. Beer Man, we can continue a conversation here. Your thoughts?
First and foremost, even before it went up, I loved the under in this game. I talk about it on a regular basis. When you have a major injury, you get a massive emotional boost. All Denver is going to hear all week long is, well, you don't have Bo Nix. You got zero shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me that defense is not hearing that. I think Denver's defense is going to play incredibly well. I think they're going to get a massive boost this game. I don't know that Denver wins, but I think this game is really tight. And in really tight, even if Stidham doesn't have a great game, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 17-13 kind of game.
Right.
Tight the entire way through. It's going to be played in the middle of the field. You know, Drake May, for what it's worth, is a second-year guy. He's made some mistakes already in the postseason that are uncharacteristic of what he did in the regular season. So, you know, you pair a great defense in Denver and a quarterback that, even though he's had a good year, is, you know, under a little bit of pressure and shaky. I just see this game being a little bit tighter and a little bit lower scoring than I think some people are predicting.
And that's kind of my point. The logic dictates that it's going to be an under game because Denver's defense is going to have to come out and just swarm.
Play ball. Yeah.
So why would the total be going up? Why would Vegas be taking the total up? And Brad, we'll get your comments on this in just a second. Stidham's got a great O-line, one of the best, arguably the best O-line in the league, and it's a home game. But those are two very positive things that are in their favor. And Drake May has shown that he can't quite take care of the ball 100% of the time. Brad, you want to weigh in here on the conversation before we all wager our picks?
You guys know where Jarrett Stidham was born?
In my mommy's belly?
Corbin, Kentucky.
No way.
Way. Really? He was born in Corbin, Kentucky. And apparently, when, of course, I was doing my time in Atlanta, so to speak, he was playing youth football in Richmond, Kentucky. That is a true story. So, yeah. So he is a Kentucky kid. He started out when he went to college. He had, by the time he went to high school, he went down to Texas and moved. And then went to Baylor and then transferred to Auburn. But so he's been around the block. But this is going to be his fifth career start. In the other four games he started, he is 1-3 straight up. But he's only started two games with the Broncos. He started two with the Raiders in 2022. So we don't have a lot to choose from Jarrett Stidham. And if you look at his numbers, all the props are pointing, yeah, that he's may not be putting up the numbers that the others are. Drake May passing yards 230.5. Jarrett Stidham passing yards 192.5. But I will say that number's come up from 185 earlier when they announced him as a starter. So this is so much about the quarterback. But having said that, what would the line be in this game if it wasn't Jarrett Stidham and it was Bo Nix? Denver would probably be favored in this game. So that's a big difference they're putting in the fact that Jarrett Stidham is more than a touchdown different than Bo Nix. And that's what I'm throwing out there to you guys right now.
There would be Denver would be at least be a half to 1.5 point favorite.
Yes.
Would you think?
Yes. They would be a short favorite, kind of like they were against Buffalo. Absolutely.
And to backtrack a little bit for the record, Jarrett Stidham in his four games, 8 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. And I think the juice is really heavy on him throwing over 1.5 interception. Him throwing an interception in the game is, I think, minus 170 or minus 180. He's going to have to throw the ball. I mean, there's no question about that. Christian Gonzalez is going to be wrapped around, draped on Cortland Sutton through the game for the most part. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. But, you know, Denver didn't really need Cortland Sutton in Sorry about that. Where's that coming from? Let me pop down here a little bit. In one of the games, I think he only had one or two targets, maybe just one catch. So Cortland Sutton has not always been necessary to the success of the Denver Broncos this year, but he is the better receiver there. Troy Franklin is out, and I'm not really sure about any other injuries that would need to be reported. The other thing about these games is, you know, you've got four really good coaches, two that are veterans, two that are up-and-comers. But Sean Payton versus Mike Vrabel, you know, that's a you know, the coaching matchup is just as good as the game itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I flash back to when the New Orleans Saints played the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl. Everybody thought this is just going to be a Peyton Manning show. You know, Reggie Wayne, they were just going to run up and down the field. Sean Payton threw a couple things out there, including the onside kick at the beginning of the second half,
yeah,
that really threw Indianapolis out of their game. I like Sean Payton as the coach in this game. And, that, you know, that's why I'm saying I just think it's going to be a low scoring. I think you're going to see some surprises. You know, if Denver is now the fourth choice to make the Super Bowl. So what do they have to lose?
Right.
They're not expected to get there at this stage, unfortunately. So throw it all out. Who cares?
What receiver or other player on Denver's team has been a previous quarterback, perhaps in college, or has a previous quarterback play or two where he's throwing the ball downfield? Because that's something to think about. I think also, Brad, you might be able to back me up on this. You probably already have it in front of you. Drake May, 20-1, or Drake May, Jared Stidham, I think 20 to, is it 20-1 to be the Super Bowl most valuable player?
Did you say, which player did you say there? I'm sorry.
Jared Stidham.
I'm looking for this, as we say here, and we're looking for, as you'd have to ask me something. Ah, here we go. Jared Stidham, 20-1 to win Super Bowl MVP. Sam Darnold, +260, your favorite. Drake May, +290. Matthew Stafford, +300. And then everybody else is at least 13-1 or higher. So you got the three quarterbacks. You got the three quarterbacks, and then Stidham, 20-1. That tells you the desert doesn't have much faith in Stidham. Even if they do win, he's not going to get it in front of maybe some other guys.
I'm fascinated that Matthew Stafford is the third choice. But I guess that's because Darnold is the first choice.
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Stafford's the third choice because they feel like Seattle's going to win that game. Mm-hmm. They feel like New England's going to win that game. So those two guys are going to be up there ahead of Stafford, but just barely. I did pull some info. Let me see if I can bring it back up here. Crap. Sorry.
This is Super Bowl 60, right?
Yes. So it's they have put some lines out. If it's L.A. against the Patriots, L.A. is going to be a three-point favorite. If it's Seattle against the Patriots, Seattle is going to be a 3.5-point favorite. If it's Seattle against the Broncos, you're looking at 9.5. And then if it's the Rams against the Broncos, you're looking at 8.5. So either way, the NFC is going to be favored.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. Puka Nacua, most valuable player. +1,700.
Somebody's got to throw him the ball, and I just feel like...
I understand, but he's good with ball security and running after the catch.
I would put a running back...
And tough as hell.
...or a defensive player before I would put a wide receiver.
Mm.
Wide receiver just relies on somebody else. I flash back again. I hate to bring up Patrick Mahomes. There were a couple times he had no business winning the MVP.
Oh, God.
But,
yeah, but that's a popularity thing with him.
But I think you're going to have a popularity thing with Matt Stafford.
Not as much as Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was a darling. He was. Yeah. Stafford's just a dude.
If Stafford walks away with two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowls, he's a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
He already is.
Right now, I think he's but I don't know if he's a shoe-in for a first ballot Hall of Fame. How about that? I don't know that he's first ballot right now. If the Rams win, I think, yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer and probably considered, you know, top 10, top 15 of all time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just... Going with the wide receiver would scare me. If you wanted to go with the running back and you had some good odds there, I might consider that.
Can you guys name the only quarterback who has won two Super Bowls and is not in the Hall of Fame?
Huh. Is it Eli Manning?
Eli?
he will be in. Someone who's been eligible for a while. So it's rather older guy. Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett is the guy. He won
a Patriot for you.
He did this with the Raiders. So
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did this with the Raiders. He won two Super Bowls. The only quarterback other than Eli who will be there one day, unfortunately. But he's the only quarterback that has been eligible for the Hall of Fame that won two Super Bowls and didn't get to the Hall of Fame. Even Bob Greasy, who, if you look at his numbers, was lousy, he got to the Hall of Fame. So there you go. I'm sorry for a quick aside. So let's bottom line it, guys. What do you think about this game from a handicapping perspective? Patriots by 5.5, total 42. And you guys can look at all the props. I've got a prop that I like, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
Go ahead, Kev.
I like Denver a lot to cover this line. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. So, yeah, if you're giving me 5.5, I'm definitely taking Denver. But I am, like I said, very heavy on the under in this one. I just think you're dealing with that emotional boost that in game one, after a major injury, you get that big boost. Now, when it comes to the Super Bowl, you're probably not going to get it nearly as big if Denver was to make it. But I'm going to take Denver as early as possible, getting 5.5, and I'm going to take the under on this game.
I'm going to wager two sucker bets. I'm taking Denver. I will buy the half point. If I will get to 6 points. I'm just not going to lay there at 5.5. I can't do that. Not in a game this big, and I don't like to lose. And I'm going to take the over, especially if it continues to stay where Brad said it's at. If that line is moving towards the over, I'm going to follow it because this game is too much, and there are too many people who are wagering on this. And, yes, I know that includes a lot of squares, but the squares aren't the ones necessarily moving that line. Brad, to you.
The bigger the game, the more you want to fade the public. 79% of the tickets, 82% of the money is on New England to cover this point spread. Give me the Broncos getting the 5.5. It's too many points. If, like we said, if Bo Nix was playing, New England would not be favored to win this game. You're going to give me an extra touchdown. I'll take it. It's just too many points here. I didn't think this line would be 5.5. I thought it'd be closer to a field goal. I will also take the under here. This is a total steam move to the over, but we do see that the temperature is going to be below freezing and the winds could play a factor here. That's always a good play. If you watched the Bears game the other night, you know what we're talking about. I would go under the 42. There are some places that are up to 42.5, so maybe hold your water, wait for this to plateau. And as far as a prop here, I'm going to go Drake May under 31.5 rushing yards. If you look at his numbers throughout the year, he started 17 regular season games and one in the postseason. He went over that 31.5 rushing yards 5 times in those 18 games. And now you're asking him to do this against a Denver Bronco defense. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play this. Broncos are good. Yeah, they gave up yardage to Josh Allen last week. But then again, Josh Allen carried the ball double-digit number of times. That's what he does. That's not what Drake May does. Give me under 31.5 rushing yards for Drake May. That's our prop culture play in that game. Anything else in this game, fellas?
I do have one prop that I have already played in this game.
Ooh.
And it was mostly a money play where I'm trying to lay a little down to win a lot. With Drake May's interceptions that he's had over the last couple of games, I put some pizza money on a Denver Broncos defensive touchdown. Plus 550 is what I got on that.
I like both those fellas.
Drake May interceptions, a half over that is plus 108. So if he throws one pick, you're making plus money there. I don't think that's a bad bet at all. Maybe not the touchdown part of it, but the over interception part of it, I have no problem going over. That's a good bet there, Beer Man. Good job.
Part of me is thinking Denver, you know, if Stidham has a bad game, then they've got to figure out ways to score. And I just feel like if they get their hands on the ball, they're going to be like, we've got to do everything that we can. I just have a lot of faith in Sean Payton in this game and that Denver Broncos defense and in that atmosphere that's in Denver. There's no guarantee that Drake May's not going to get exhausted in that game. It may be a garbage touchdown. I've got a feeling that Denver is going to score a defensive or special teams touchdown, but more than likely a defensive touchdown.
20-plus rushing yards for Jared Stidham is an awfully high number. I'm going to take it.
Mm.
I also might throw a little money on a Jared Stidham touchdown.
A
rushing touchdown. Yeah. Uh-huh. And other than that, I don't know. I do like both of your picks, especially the Drake May, Brad, with him having some fumbling issues and that lingering in the back of his mind. That might be enough to convince him to get rid of the ball and not maybe to take that chance crossing the line of scrimmage.
One of the things that scares me about Jared Stidham either getting a touchdown or 20 rushing yards, you got to think they don't want him injured. They want him as protected as possible, so they're probably going to limit his rollouts. They're probably going to limit when he makes a break for it, even if he gets a little nervous. So that part would scare me. I couldn't even tell you who the third-string quarterback is with Denver, but they do not need him getting hurt in this game.
I'm looking it up. It's Alan Cutler. Alan Cutler is their third-string backup quarterback.
Sam Ehringer is their backup quarterback. Okay. Ehringer. Yeah, I'm sorry. He was a Texas kid. He played at Texas. And he's been around. I think he played with the Colts, I think, at some point. Yeah, he did.
Played with the Colts last year.
And, so there you go. That's your third-string quarterback, second string this week. But, Alan Cutler, if he played quarterback, he probably would have looked like Caleb Williams on that final play the other night, except he would have thrown it. Except that ball would have ended up in the parking lot. So there you go. There you go, folks. That's game number one. Let's go to game number two. 6:30 Sunday night, an NFC Western Division matchup. The Seattle Seahawks and Sam Darnold, 2.5-point favorites now over the LA Rams and Matthew Stafford. 47.5 is your total. This line opened with Seattle 1.5-point favorite at a 47.5 total. But right now, if you're looking to take the Rams, I suggest holding your water here, because if you look around, every place I can see has juice on Seattle. In other words, this line's going to hit 3 at some point before it even thinks about coming down. So there you go, folks. 2.5 minus 115 is the juice. Consensus, 47.5 your total.
And the juice that I've got on 47.5 is 115 also. So that may go up a half a point to a point there also.
What is the total?
47.5.
Okay. Well, recency bias, right? Seattle just pummeled San Francisco, so there you go. The Rams have struggled against Carolina, and who'd they play last week? The Rams.
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. So, you know, they kind of struggled against both teams. These two teams played each other first November the 16th. The Rams at home took care of Seattle 21-19, a victory by 2 points. A month later, the Rams visited Seattle and lost 38-37. A 1-point differential, you know, two wildly different games with different outcomes. This game is anybody's game, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you now that I'm taking the Rams and the points. I like the venerable coach and quarterback combination. They've been here before. I cannot help, and I've done this week after week after week. I cannot help but worry about Sam Darnold in pressured situations. I know the Rams' defense has not been up to snuff these last few games. I don't know if they're going to rectify that or not, but whether they do or not, the Rams do have the offense to put points on the board.
I'm probably looking a different direction than you. I mean, I've watched all of these games, and Seattle looks like they're on a mission. You feel like a team is going to have a rough go in one of their games in the playoffs. This potentially could be it. Sean McVay obviously knows that team up there pretty well. But my God, Seattle is playing close to perfect football. And the Rams, maybe it was the cold. I don't know. But Stafford, when he was in Detroit, played in Green Bay, played in Chicago quite a bit. He shouldn't have been that out of sorts. Didn't have a passing touchdown in that game. I don't think Seattle is an indoor stadium. I don't think it's completely open air, but what is that, Lumen Field? I don't know. The over-under, I haven't been able to figure out in this game, but I just think Seattle has played perfect football so far. And I feel like that trend is going to continue. You know, Sam Darnold has been well protected.
Yep, he's got a good O-line.
So
it's decent. It's not great.
They've exercised some of the ghosts at the end of Minnesota's season last year, and it looks like they look like geniuses, getting rid of Geno Smith, who was kind of a fan favorite and having a resurgence in his career, and turning to Sam Darnold, who everybody was like, well, what about the pressure? And then they just absolutely went out there and dominated for the most part all season long. I don't know. I was trying to figure out. Seattle lost the first game to San Francisco. They lost a shootout with the Buccaneers. And I don't remember what the other game. Oh, they lost to the Rams. Duh. But this is just one of those where Seattle's had as close to a perfect season as you could imagine. And I just foresee that continuing, honestly, through the Super Bowl at this stage. I was nervous if Chicago won. I would have told you, I would have taken Seattle in this game, even against my beloved Chicago Bears. Brad, what say you?
Division Road Dogs. We love them. And if I'm going to sit here and take the Rams, I'm not playing them just yet. I'm going to wait for this line to hit 3, and I'm going to take the Rams. We remember that Thursday night game back during the regular season. Rams basically had that game won, and that was an absolute crazy finish there. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Rams, getting the points here. Hopefully it'll be 3 at some point this week, and I think it will be, looking at the reading the tea leaves here. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Division Road Dog here in this one. As we all know, they are very valuable over the years, Division Road Dogs, even in the playoffs. And, yes, another divisional under. You see the under here, 47.5. 72% of the tickets, 76% of the money on the over. How come this number hasn't moved? How come it's still 47.5? Uh-huh. Give me a divisional under in this one as well. And if you're looking to take a prop, and I've been playing props here since with my little side hustle gig, Kenneth Walker, 86.5 rushing yards here. Charbonnet, the other running back for Seattle, he is now done. He's gone, injured. So now they're going to give all the carries to Kenneth Walker, right? Well, I'm not so sure. Yeah, he did have over 100 yards last week against the Niners, but they also were kind of just trying to get that game over with and just trying to run the football and feeding Walker the ball here. Yeah, I'm going under 86.5 yards with Kenneth Walker. Just because Charbonnet's out doesn't mean all those carries go to Walker, which is what the numbers are kind of telling us that's what's going to happen. I disagree. I'm going to go under 86.5. Love that prop, under the 86.5 for Kenneth Walker, the Seahawks running back there. So dog under and under Kenneth Walker rushing yards. That's my pick.
Brad, I love that pick. I really do. And I couldn't agree more. Yeah, Charbonnet's out of the game, but that does not mean anything in terms of... in fact, it might actually hinder Walker. I'm not sure who the other backup who will play spoiler in third downs, but... and I don't know if either of you have that information. I started to look it up there. But I do. I love that play. I think the Rams' defense is going to be dialed in here. And, yeah, if we're talking the total now, I would take the under in this game, too. And I know you guys hate it when I say this, but the Rams truly are due for an outstanding performance. This is a good team. They've got superstar players all over the field. They've got a tight end who is highly underrated, undervalued, the Cody Parkinson kid. The Rams team, I don't think we've seen what we're going. I think they're holding a card up their sleeve. And I think Sean McVay comes out with a special play or two in this game as well.
If you look at the previous two games, Puka Nacua has 12 receptions in one of them, has 7 receptions in the other one. The most under him is 3. That was when he had 12. They threw the ball 3 times to one other player. I look at Devontae Adams in this game. His over-under is 5. I'm still going to take the under in that one as far as my prop goes. They seem to rely on Puka in these games quite a bit when it comes to the receiving game. And I'm going to imagine that they're going to stick with that because it's somewhat worked in the regular season. So my over-under number on Davante Adams is under 5.
What's the over-under on
Puka is 8.
Puka is the third down guy every time. I mean, 7 out of every 10 third down plays with more than 1 yard, it's a Puka play. Seattle's smart enough, and they have the defense to take care of that. That's the only reason I don't like your bet. You know,
like I said, you look at their previous matchups. Puka, let me try to get back to that screen here relatively quick. When they played early in the year, Puka had 7 receptions. Colby Parkinson had 2. Nobody else had more than 1.
Yeah.
You go to the other game, and it's going to take me a second to pull that up.
I'm going to take the MVP award and put it on Tutu Atwell.
Louisville player.
Craig Ferguson.
You look at the other game, Puka had 12 receptions, 225, 2 touchdowns. Konata Mumfield had 3, and Terrence Ferguson had 3. Kyron Williams had 3.
Yeah.
So, again, Puka had 2 touchdowns in that one. Terrence Ferguson had the other one in that game for 3.
Those things are based on game flow, though, and what the defense is doing and what Stafford is seeing.
I you would think that's the case, but
no, I know
Puka
it's the case.
Seems to be open in those games. I'm not taking the over for Puka in this game, but I am taking the under for Devontae.
Yeah. I think I would choose the over on somebody like Cody Parkinson.
Cody Parkinson?
Mm-hmm. Tight end.
Colby, sorry.
Yeah.
Turd Michael Ferguson,
McDonald is,
please.
Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers is the head coach, by the way. Insert Doobie Brothers song here.
Y'all be there.
Y'all will be there. Up and over.
Turd Ferguson was one of the great celebrity Saturday Night Live Jeopardy contestants. My name is not Burt Reynolds. It is Turd Ferguson, please. Yes. So there you have it, folks. Bottom line it for us, guys. Who you got? I've already given my picks out. So bottom line, quickly, what you have in terms of this game, props, sides, totals.
I'm taking the Rams plus the 3. I will get 3 one way or another, and I will take the under. And I might make that 48 if I have to.
I'm going to stick with Seattle. I think they're a team on a mission right here. To me, this is one of those games. If the Rams cover, I think they win. But I'm going to take Seattle, and I'm going to go with the under on this one. Brad, you talked me into it with the divisional under stat that you normally play right here.
Really? You finally, after 3 years, you finally paid attention to the divisional unders? Wow, I'm finally getting through to you people.
I listen to you more than you think.
Well, anyway, dog under and under Kenneth Walker rushing yards. There you have it, folks. Our Mac Daddy Stogies for the divisional championship round. May the winners be yours.
I got a question for you. Are we done?
No, go ahead. We're not done.
Oh, I got a question for you. Who ends up in Pittsburgh? Who ends up in Buffalo?
Oh, God. Your guess is as good as mine on those. The coaching carousel? I got nothing. What do you guys got?
I feel like Cliff Kingsbury is going to end up in one of them, potentially in Buffalo, but only because he's got a quarterback to work with. I think too many questions are in Pittsburgh as to who your quarterback is going to be. I think they're going to go a little bit younger. Although, I mean, not that Kingsbury is that old, but it fascinates me to a degree coaching hires that have already been filled. I've scratched my head on Miami, on Detroit's OC, and on the Tennessee head coach there. I think Tennessee's trying to, in essence, get a Vrabel kind of coach back when they never should have got rid of Mike Vrabel. But I didn't know if anybody had any thought on Buffalo. I'm leaning toward Cliff Kingsbury there, but I don't know. I just thought maybe you all had a little bit more thought to that.
I wouldn't hire Cliff Kingsbury to work at the Waffle House because he used to date Holly Saunders, and I have very little respect for her as a person altogether. So there you go.
That's why.
All you got to do is Google her. She was once one a very wholesome entertainer, and let's just say those days are long gone. And she saw the dark
last
side.
Last name again?
Saunders with an O, S-O-N-D-E-R-S. Holly Saunders. You've probably seen her before. You know who I'm talking about. But let's just say she's not who she used to be. I'll put it to you that way. And she was with Cliff Kingsbury at one time, and I lost a lot of respect for him for being with this person. So there you go. That's why I would never hire him. That's just me. I'm a little bit old school, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? But I am not.
Kubiak is another guy that I could see ending up in Buffalo. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I have heard that now. Kubiak is the lineage that he has. Yeah, he's very trustworthy, and that would be something that a lot of owners would look at and see his family and be like, yes, that's exactly who I want. So I'm sure he'll be taken up by a good team, not a floundering team. So
I would have liked to have bought some stock in Plastics before this woman had work done to her whole body.
Mm-hmm.
I got to better take a look now.
She, she 10, 12 years ago, she was as good as it got, and then she saw the dark side and somebody named Vegas Dave. And now, then it was Cliff Kingsbury, and then it was Oscar De La Hoya, and it has just gone south since then.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of plastic.
Look at her before plastic, though. And she had.
I'm looking at a collage of photos. She's as fake as fake can be. Yeah.
But there was a time she wasn't fake. So, and she was very talented and skilled on the air. So, yeah, it's, and it all went downhill. So that's why she was with Cliff Kingsbury, no dice for me. Anyway, so there you go, folks. Anything else, guys? Do we have more coaching carousel stuff or anything else you want to talk about?
No, man, we don't care about that. Let's just wait and see what happens. Come on. Don't give me that. Who's the guy on ESPN that does the mock draft every year with the crazy Frankenstein head?
Mel Kiper Jr.
Mel, I don't know the guy. He's probably a great guy, but I hate all of this mock round stuff. Like, can we not just wait until it happens instead of, like, sitting here and guessing? What is the point of guessing? I mean, I know some people dig it.
It makes for clicks. I mean, that's the easy answer.
I think it's just the biggest waste of time in the history of mankind.
I always wanted a team to hire him just to do drafts, just to see how he would really do, you know? Just
because he's terrible.
Well, give him a 3-year run and let's say, here you go, Mel Kiper. He just do our drafts for 3 years. We'll all leave you alone and let's see what you could do. And then after those 3 years and see what you got after 3 seasons, maybe you could tell if those were busts or booms or whatever and go from there. But I just wanted to see, there was this documentary about, you know, a general manager. Mel Kiper had mailed him his draft guide a long time ago. That, 200 and something pages long, small print and everything. And the general manager gets it and just throws it straight in the garbage can. So it was, Mel Kiper is a legend, and he has made a career out of doing something that nobody, else did. And I give him credit for hustling, but yeah, I don't think he has much respect among the actual NFL. So.
Didn't Mike Mayock also do some mock drafts, and then he ended up with the Raiders GM position?
That didn't last long. He was the Mel Kiper of the NFL Network. He literally, Mel Kiper was with ESPN. Mike Mayock was doing the same exact thing. He was just on the NFL Network. And then when John Gruden got to the Raiders, he's like, hey, Mike Mayock, you sound good on TV. I just came from TV. Why don't you come over? Let's just show them how to do this. And we saw what happened.
This has been the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. Suck it to Holly Saunders.
Literally.
You know she has. Say goodbye.
I'm not interrupted every 5 seconds. You need to look up that Vegas Dave guy. That's the guy. Thanks so much for listening. But until the next time, as always... May the winners be uninterrupted, and Smiley Pete can suck it, be yours.